Welcome.
Hang on, try it there. Hi. Hi. Okay, you can hear me. Hi, I'm Lynn. I'm a grateful alcoholic. Hi, everybody. Let me see where I want to go here. Okay, I'm gonna look at you all. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for inviting me to come share today, Sherry. I'm a little nervous. I don't know why, but I am. I think, like I said earlier, my ego sometimes gets in the way and tells me, and my head is always in the way. So I got to put that aside and turn it over to God and let God speak through me. I've had quite of an experience for quite a few years. I first tried to get sober in 1987 and went into a treatment center. They wanted me to get rid of all my vices, and I was only ready to get rid of one. So I left and continued on with my other vices that took me back to the original one that got me in trouble in the first place. So I went into another treatment center in 1989, stayed sober for 11 years. And I say sober, but I don't say I was in recovery. I was sober for 11 years. And I relapsed, and I relapsed based on decisions that I thought were the best for me at the time without running them by a sponsor or anybody else. And that just shows what an unrecovered alcoholic brain can do to take your life and detour it in a way that I never expected to go, which was into a relapse. And that relapse lasted for what I thought, well, it's kind of a long story, but I'm going to make it really short. I drank for 4 years. I went back to drinking. I drank for 4 years. I drank a couple of drinks a day. I was fine per se. You know, all my character defects, nothing had changed in my first 11 years. I did steps, I did inventories, I went to step studies, I went to big book studies. I mean, that was my main meetings. And I went to speaker meetings too, but I went to meetings every day and I did everything that I thought I was supposed to be doing. The only thing I didn't do was I didn't turn my will and my life over to a power greater than myself. I never made that decision in that third step to turn my will over to God and say, or to a power greater than me, which is the universe today, say, tell it, letting it take over and become who I want, who I needed to be able to cooperate and be within this skin and live with myself. And I didn't know how to do that without that help. And today I do know how to do that. And it's such a good feeling. And the feeling comes from being able to take a look at that inventories. At first, the first step, knowing I'm powerless and my life was unmanageable, I had to go there first. I was powerless over any kind of drug I put into me, any kind of control I tried to have over people, places, and things. I had to learn what I was powerless over. I had to learn how my life was unmanageable. I had to see the wreckage and the things that I had created because of my disease. I had to see that, and I had to admit that. I had to admit that. Then I had to come to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, you know, and that was a promise to tell me, oh, you mean I could be sane? Because I thought I was insane. Anybody doing what I was doing on a daily basis, the way I was doing it, was insane. Because it was like I was on a rat's wheel. I was just a hamster wheel, just circles, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, and never understanding why I wasn't getting different results. And I didn't know that it came from an inside job. I didn't know that it came from me having to get to know myself so that I could understand the things that I was doing that was creating the havoc that I was seeing out here. It was this didn't create what was going on in here. This going on in here was creating what was going on out here because I needed to make some sanity out of it. I needed to make it seem like it was real. So I had to create it to match the feelings that I had going on inside of me, you know, that were all very sick at the time and I didn't know it. You know, when I turned my will and my life over in 2009, I came back into the program. I started back, anyway, that's too long of a story, but I came back in two, I, 2009. And I've been back since. I'm in my 14th year, coming up on 14 years. And, you know, I made it past that 11-year hump because I had a lot of guilt and a lot of shame, you know, because I was, you know, I went to school, I went to UCLA and became a chemical dependency counselor. For those 11 years, I was working in treatment centers. You know, I was helping other people get sober, you know, and towards the end of that, I was helping them get sober and I'm in the bathroom doing cocaine and drinking, you know, at the treatment center. And I have a bottle of urine hiding up in the closet in case they want to do a UA on me. I can go get that real quick and take it in. I mean, the distances I went to hide the disease that was going on inside of me was just sick. It was just so sick. I just feel the goosebumps of that relief of having that God work through me today to know that I don't have to go there anymore. All I have to do is surrender on a daily basis and say, this is where I'm safe. This is where I need to be. This is what's good for me. And I couldn't have done any of that. And I'm going to go back into the fourth step now without getting rid of the resentments I had, because I grew up with resentments. I resented that I was baptized Catholic and I didn't get to go to church and have that wafer put on my tongue or get to go to confessions because I was never confirmed. I was only baptized, you know, and I watched my niece get to do all that. And I envied that, you know. I was resentful that the kids at school had better shoes and better clothes than me, and that their parents were younger than my parents, and they drove better cars, and they lived in nicer places, and that I never wanted to be home. I resented being home. I always wanted to be at their house. I didn't want to be who I was. I didn't want to feel, because I always felt like I was less than everybody else. I wasn't as pretty. I didn't have as much. I wasn't going to amount to anything because I had no interests. I had no hobbies. I was just so afraid of everything. And I can't get into the fear because that's another thing, but the resentment of being afraid. I mean, there's a resentment in being afraid. There's just a resentment I had at myself for falling into traps and into things that I can see today were very harmful for me, but I couldn't see it then, you know? So to get through those resentments, I had to take a look at them. I had to see that when I was pointing at the finger at everybody else for what they were doing to me, I had to remember how many are pointing back at me. You know, how many times have we heard that? I had to remember how many pointed back at me, and I had to find my part in it. I had to find, what's my part in being resentful? Well, I know my part today. It's because they're not doing it the way I want them to do it. Simple. You know, I can't control them. Simple. You know? So how simple is that on a daily basis to just surrender and say, okay, I get it. I can't control you. I can't make you do the things I want you to do. I can't make you take me to places I want you to take me. I can't make you be who I want you to be. I can't make you treat me the way, you know, with my kids say, I can't make you treat me the way I want you to treat. I could have a resentment at my daughter-in-law because she took my son away from me, but where is that going to get me? You know, it's a recognition. Yeah, I realize that happened. That happened. Is there anything I can do about it? No. I've done everything I can do. I've tried and tried, and I've surrendered to the fact that I'm powerless over that situation. And once I do that with every situation I'm in, especially in my marriage, you know, in a marriage, it's give and take. You know, I was a taker, and now I got to learn how to give. And I got to give when I'm not feeling like I want to give. And I got to give when I'm hating. You know, I got to love when I'm hating, you know, but I'm not hating them is what I have to remind myself. I'm hating the experience. I'm hating the behavior. And that's a whole different thing than hating the person. You know, I hate what my son is doing, but I love my son. I hate how it's caused my resent and hate. How it's caused, but I can't take that resentment into it because it will kill me. It'll eat me alive. And I know that I didn't clear those resentments up in my first sobriety. That's why I didn't know I had any character defects. I had no idea I had character defects because I didn't have a character. I just did whatever everybody else was doing. I never discovered who I was and created who I was or set boundaries or, you know, established any sense of being. You know, I just went along with whatever crowd I was with, and I'm a chameleon. I can fit in anywhere, you know, and I hated it as a kid. But as an adult today, I love it because now I'm so versatile. I can be anywhere and I feel comfortable anywhere today. I'm not afraid of that anymore. And, you know, so I don't. I even hate staying in the idea of resentments, because I believe that if I have the belief that there's still that I could possibly resent, then I'm going to resent. But if I come from love, I'm not going to resent. I'm just going to love and allow. Does that mean, you know, that's got to make sense. That makes sense to me. And if I can love and allow people, places, and things around me to be exactly how they are, I can allow myself to be the same. I can give myself the same blessing, the same grace, and say, I allow you to be who you are too. And you may not be perfect, and you may not say the right thing all the time or do the right thing all the time, you know, act the right, but you are who you are, and you've got, today I have a glimpse of ways of to get out of it, you know, to get it. When I did my fourth step in, after this last sobriety again, my sponsor listed all these things, and she gave me the list afterwards, and I read it, and it was like my character defects, and I said, ew, I would not want to know that person. I couldn't stand who she wrote down. I couldn't stand that she saw me like that. It was embarrassing. And I went, oh my God, I wouldn't want to know her. I'll tell you, that was a real shocker, because I didn't know that about myself. I really, really didn't. And I would have been left defenseless had she not given me a list of liabilities. What's the other one? Assets that I had as well, or how I could take those liabilities and turn them into assets if I didn't have the asset already, you know? And that was just information I needed to be able to proceed on to do 6 and 7 and be able to continue on through the steps. So it goes back. I got to see what my time is, because I don't know. Oh, I still got a lot of time. I talk too fast. Putting you back on screen. Sorry, guys. I talk to myself a lot. I'm trying to switch the screen and I can't. Okay. Anyway, so the first thing is to make it, what that person do to me. You know, I want to teach you how to do it, because you guys are all going to do it with your sponsor, and each sponsor is going to do it differently. So I don't want this to be like a lesson. It's just my experience. And my experience has been is that if I clean up my presence on a daily basis, I'm not going to have any resentments tomorrow. I'm not going to have anything to regret. I'm not going to have anything that I look back and have to be ashamed of anymore or feel guilty about anymore, because that's the stuff I carried around forever. I was, like I said, I was ashamed. My mother was older. My mother was 39 when she had me. Everybody else had young mothers. You know, I didn't have what everybody else had. But I don't live in that spot today. I don't live in that place today. I live in a place of like I said, acceptance and love. And I really don't even, I'm kind of like stifled right now. I don't really know where else to go with this. So I'm going to close right now. And then if you guys have any questions and you want to bring out anything else that I may have forgotten or lost, that would be fine. Is that okay, Desiree?
Sure, that's no problem. You have the 30 minutes to speak, but you can end at any time.
Okay,
well, you can also share on step, Lynn, you can share on step 5 also, if you have wanted to share on that.
Okay, 5. Okay, so thank you. Was that was Sherry, wasn't it? Sherry, let me uncross my legs, they're falling asleep. Oh, okay. Step 5. Okay, so going and speaking. The first time I did a fourth step, I did it with a priest, which was fantastic for me, because like I said, I had that resentment that I never got to go to church and go to do a confession. And now here I am, and I get to do a fifth step with a priest. And that was like, yes, you know. So after I was done with that, I thought I was cool. I thought I was done. You know, I didn't need to do any more fifth steps or fourth steps. I was just, that was it. And like I said, at that time, I didn't really go into my 6th and 7th. I didn't. Sponsorship back in the late 80s was a lot different than it is today, guys. I'm sorry. It was a lot different. It was either you were all in or you're all just, I don't even know. I don't want to say anything, because there are probably a lot of people with a lot of time here. But from my experience, I didn't seem to get as much guidance back then. But maybe it was probably me, and I wasn't willing to take it either. So so that first fourth step was speaking to a priest. And then after that, when I got out, I did another one with another woman. And you know, she had me, oh no, that goes into the amends. Never mind. Not going there. I don't know what else to say about the fifth step. What am I? Hang on a second. I got to get my book because I was reading the steps this morning to alert my mind, you know, getting older and things don't always work the same way as they could. Admit to God to ourselves and only being the extra nature of our wrong. Okay. Okay. Do you guys ever go do the 12 and 12? Yeah, it's a great book. Okay, anyway, so it talks about living with the torments of the past within ourselves, you know, and having that eat at us, and that, you know, of course that's what went on with all of us until you really clean house. And that was my point that I was saying before. Until I could really come back in 2009 and do the kind of inventories that I've done, and I've done more than one. I've done more than one fourth step since I've been back. And each one has progressed, and each one has been more enlightening, obviously, for me. Well, I won't say obviously because some people don't get it, but I didn't get it before. So that's why I know some people don't get it. I'm not talking about anybody else but me. I didn't get it because I wasn't open to getting it, you know, and I have to be open to be able to receive. So, you know, it just talks, oh, this was one thing I want to talk about. Psychiatrists and psychologists point out the deep need every human being has for the practical insight and knowledge of his own personality flaws, for a discussion of them with an understanding and trustworthy person. And that's how I felt when I came in the rooms in 1989. I was finally around, it talks about being around crowds of people too. You know, I was finally around people that were happy and they were saying the things that I could, that I would hear. I mean, they were saying the things that I was feeling. And I remember in 1987, I was in a treatment center and they brought in a panel and the panel was talking to us. And I thought the panel was a group of actors because they were saying the things that I needed to hear so that I would stay in the hospital and keep paying them money to be there. You know, that's how sick I was and how defensive I was of giving up all my vices. I was only willing to give up one. You know, they could have taken that and kept my money, but they were fighting for me to give them all up. So I had to leave. Because that was, you know, that was what I thought was the right thing to do. Oh, God. And that terrible sense of isolation we always had and the tortured by loneliness is, you know, what the fifth, getting out of that resentments and the fears and the inventories that we do to get out of those. And so that we're not now in that place of desperation where we're tortured again by loneliness. I feel like I'm gonna stop for a second because I'm feeling a little nervous and I'm feeling like I'm not taking you guys where you want to go or need to go, or maybe I'm feeling codependent. I don't know what I'm feeling. I don't know what the hell is going on. But I know, okay. I don't want to go through the book like this because I don't know. I'm gonna close.
You are
and
okay.
I'm gonna,
yeah. You're
Thank you.
Pitiful.
I'm going to close it, you guys. Thanks. I'm sorry.
Love you. You're good.